It's Comedy Shoeshine.
I've recently entered the level of fat as a man where you have to wear a collared shirt.
It's not fun to suck dick at something. That's not... And furthermore...
Unless it's a dick sucking contest.
Yeah. No, even then, I don't want to suck dick at it.
Are there ventriloquists that aren't comedians? Are there serious ventriloquists?
It's time for a Comedy Shoeshine.
With Sam and Thomas.
Listen up.
Hello and welcome to Comedy Shoeshine 118. Thomas here. So the next 2 weeks, because I'm on vacation, we are going to present you parts one and two of Lot Awful Movies number 4. If you're not familiar with that, that's a thing we do over on Opening Arguments that we ripped off from God Awful Movies, which makes fun of religious movies. But we do a legal version with Andrew Torres, lawyer extraordinaire, called Lot Awful Movies, a little play on that, and we take movies with legal inaccuracies, which is most any movie involving the law, and we make fun of it. But to spice it up a little bit, Sam often comes on and helps us out. That's previously available to only patrons of Opening Arguments, but in exchange for Sam kind of putting in so many hours of helping us out over there for really no return to himself, we thought we'd release this on the main feed. So hopefully this might attract some new listeners who maybe might want to hang around on Comedy Shoeshine, get it subscribed onto your device there, and then a couple weeks from now, we'll have a nice new Comedy Shoeshine episode to check out. So with that said, here's part one of us making fun of a hilariously bad movie with Ben Affleck and Samuel L. Jackson from like 2002. Check it out. Welcome to Lot Awful Movies numero 4. Wow. The fourth. Is that right? Yeah. 4.
I only remember 3.
Sorry. 3.
This is the third one.
Yeah. No, you're right. No, it's just a clerical error. Sam, we didn't do one without you. I promise.
Okay.
Sam, we definitely didn't.
I thought
you
took a month off.
Yeah. And all the jokes I have about, like, what's his name? The actor being in the last one we did too. All those, don't just ignore them, because we definitely had you on for all of the Lot Awful Movies. How's it going, Andrew?
Good. And I'm so happy that Sam is back with us.
Me
that
too.
That sounded really sincere.
Yeah. That's
Andrew's
I've been
telling him to work on his sincerity. Yeah.
Good. You're almost there.
I fix a lot of it in post.
Yeah.
For the sincerity.
You don't even
meter.
I don't think you need to do anything.
For a lawyer, I have been told I have an incredibly sincere
yeah.
voice.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I have to credit Andrew for one hell of a pick for today's movie.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this movie. Had you heard of this movie?
Never. Yeah.
Never heard of it, and it was perfect.
Which is weird, because it has two huge stars.
Yeah. Two big actors.
Does everyone else know this movie except for
us? The movie is Changing Lanes. Sorry, I didn't mention it for anyone who hadn't seen the title. Changing Lanes. And
yeah, it was actually posted on my Facebook wall by Sharon.
And you allowed me to thank you like 3 times for such a good pick. You took all that credit.
I took all the credit.
You're just like,
and it belongs to Sharon Frankel instead, actually.
Oh,
so,
well.
There you go.
Okay, big credit to Sharon Frankel for that, because this is perfect.
It's perfect.
It's a perfect
gosh.
We'll never do better.
it's
we or whoever else might do an episode. We'll never
no,
do
it's
better.
No, it's only you. It's only you are in these. It's just you.
Okay.
Yeah. So first off, I have to say this was a heroic effort to get this together in time, because I don't know, this gets me every year. February is a fucking asshole of a month. It's an asshole. It was like the 26th of the month, and I thought, oh, we need to do a Lot Awful Movies and sometime in the next 4 to 5 days, you know, roughly speaking. And then, you know, we discover, oh, it's February. Why? Whose idea was this? Like, I don't know if anyone ever talks about
yours.
This. No. Whose idea was February? Why don't we talk about the fact that there's one month that's an idiot of a month? Like, it's not, they're like, oh, this is just a charity case of a month. It has not even, it's not like it has 30 days or even 29. It has 28 fucking days.
How do they pick February?
I don't get it. Like, does the moon just all, wasn't it based on the moon or some shit? And like 1 month out of the year, the moon just quits and is like, nah, I'm done. I'm done already. 28.
Or no, it speeds up or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I ate a lot during the holidays, so I'm going to just rotate a little faster.
Every year the moon makes like a New Year's resolution. Like, all right, I'm going to get moving.
And then then in March, it's like, fuck, at 31 days, whatever. I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah, I don't get it. How does it 1 month?
Is it 31 in March? I don't know.
Probably.
30,
March is 30.
March is 31.
March 31.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I should have second-guessed my joke.
I'll cut it. Yeah. So fuck that. Like, it's just this every 4 years we're like, we feel bad for February. Like, we just toss it an extra day. But like,
I was told this morning that to watch this movie and do this thing. But the best thing is that it was the greatest movie. I could have not watched it and still done this. Just the preview.
Just the fact that it's called Changing Lanes.
Oh, God.
And like the key, we'll get to it. But anyway, so fuck February, but we just wanted to let you know, I just wanted to gripe for a minute about how quickly, and also thank you, Sam and Andrew, for getting this together and being able to do this right away because fucking February. But yeah, this movie made up for it. So let's get right into it. And my first note is just one time can we do a movie that doesn't cut away 4 million times? Like, what?
Oh my gosh.
Because I'm trying to write these notes, and fortunately there's only two main characters in this movie, so it's only twice, you know, like cutting to two different things. In Runaway Jury, which we definitely didn't do, like we didn't, Sam, we didn't
remember that movie.
Yeah, no, we definitely didn't do it. But if we were to do Runaway Jury, like, for example.
God, I don't think I saw that. How did I do this with that? I'm not even seeing it.
You were drunk. You did it. You made a few jokes about...
Was I funny?
It was good.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was really good.
Okay. Well, I got invited back, so I must have been funny.
Yeah. You've been back to back to back.
Okay,
to
okay,
back.
Good.
So, what Gene Hackman, I mean, you made all kinds of jokes about Gene Hackman being in it again. Yeah, it's got cutaways. Whatever happened to the days of movies where it would just show a person... Or a few people, and there'd be a scene, and something, some drama would happen, and then you would go to the next scene. That doesn't exist anymore in movies today, I guess. I mean, maybe
today this is like 15 years old.
We've only gotten up to the 2000s in a lot of awful movies.
Okay,
but like, yeah, every movie has to be a cutaway thing. And did you notice this fucking movie did the handheld camera bullshit constantly? Did you notice that?
I didn't notice that.
I noticed that.
I
all
was
the time.
Laughing too hard at everything.
Right. I'm criticizing all the least important parts of this.
I know. My first note is this movie was filmed in 2001 and released in 2002. So when you see the New York skyline in the beginning, it's really, really weird that they didn't edit out the shot of the two towers.
Like, I thought they did. Oh, I thought it wasn't.
Yeah,
they were in there.
Yeah, you can definitely see.
Oh, okay. Well, but this is a stupid thing because people kept thinking that, like, we need to cut out, like, if a movie was filmed between that time, they always thought, like, we need to cut them out. And I always thought, why? Why do you need, I don't understand.
That seems like the opposite of what you'd want to do.
Exactly.
You'd want to put them in there and
say,
like,
two extra towers in there.
Four towers.
Yeah.
Make or just the double high.
That, Make the terrorists think we already built two more towers.
We're not even acknowledging that you took down our towers. We wouldn't
make
even
them twice as high. Like Trump.
That
tower
is weird,
just got
though.
50 feet high. Yeah. It is weird. I don't get that reaction. I never did. I was like, why just do what you filmed it? Why would you change what you filmed? Anyway. So it starts off with the fucking cutaway bullshit where we're going between different characters. But like I said, it's only two different things. We got an orchestra, a kid orchestra playing. And, you know, the conductor actually looked like a real conductor. I know Sam and I over on Comedy Shoeshine, we've made fun of the stupid fucking commercial. What was that car commercial? Anyway, where there's a conductor who's
I actually
totally
did
fake.
That. I was part of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I was
that.
On
yeah,
that. Yeah.
No,
okay.
You were in that.
Got it.
That was one of the Shoeshine episodes you were in.
Okay, yeah. I was in that one.
Yeah, but anyway, it's a real orchestra. It seems like the conductor actually does some. I just want to compliment that guy. One of the best actors in the film. Mm-hmm. He's 2.2 seconds of the film, and then Samuel L. Jackson is one of our characters. We don't know any names or anything yet, but he's trying to buy a house. It looks like he's touring a home, and so that's what he's doing. Meanwhile, and then this is so funny because the getting the loan scene. I don't know if you
I had something before that when the realtor's like showing the house to Samuel Jackson. He's like, this is going to be the boys' room or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, like, the realtor doesn't give a shit what room is going to be whose. Are you buying the house or not? Like, that's all I care about anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
You bought a house. I bought a couple houses. The realtor doesn't care what you're doing with any room in the house.
Right.
Ever.
Right. Anyway. Well, I do think the realtor would do the fake, like, oh,
yeah,
oh,
yeah,
okay, oh, excellent. But, like, why would you think they care? Like, I didn't tell the realtor anything.
Yeah, and the way he talks to the realtor is like, yeah, it's something that she would care about. Like, yeah, it's a big, deep thing. Like, I love my kids so much. Well, I would give them my master bedroom.
Right, in
Sir,
fairness,
I'm just a realtor.
Right,
I don't care about your kids.
But he does talk. I mean, Samuel L. Jackson, like, that's his character note is talks about his kids in every scene in the movie,
exactly,
even if it was just in the last scene. So
also one thing, and I'll come back to this, but one thing whoever wrote this does a lot is they have characters say things that they would know the person they're talking to doesn't know, but they just outburst, like, oh man, like, oh, this thing, and the character's like, what, why would you say that? I don't know. It's so stupid. So it could be along those lines. But anyway, the loan scene. Yeah, so right after, smash cut apparently, like it's all in one day or something, he looked at the house, and then he's sitting at a desk of getting a loan or whatever. And admittedly, this is before the housing crisis thing, so like maybe the rules were a little different. But I don't know, Andrew, if you bought a house at that time, it would be before I bought a house, but
God,
like,
I hope you didn't.
I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know that
now.
You just sit and talk to one like office desk job worker type guy, and he says, you got the loan.
Yeah.
Like, he just says it. Like,
you literally just turned in the application. Yeah. Like, the ink is still wet from signing the application.
Sam Jackson's line is like,
you a yay
or
nay.
I don't know if I filled that out correctly. And God, this scene is so fucking awkward. I almost want to find it.
It's not there.
But he literally is in the middle of saying, I don't think I filled. And the guy says, you got it. You got the loan.
Yeah.
Like in the middle, he goes, oh, are you sure? I don't think I've. Yes, you got the loan. And it's like, what? What does that even mean?
Yeah.
He just perused it for like 2 seconds. And he's like, yeah, this looks good. Now you have a name. You basically seem to be a person.
Samuel Jackson was just about to say, like, I didn't even fill out the second half of the application. And he's like, don't even worry about that. You're approved. I can smell it on you that you're good for this one.
So I don't think that's how loans work. But anyway, he's got the loan, apparently. And then cut back over. Ben Affleck is addressing the audience at the Kid Orchestra. And he's talking about Citizen Kane or somebody. Like, there's some figure that we don't know about.
Rosebud and all that.
Yeah, exactly. But he's talking about, like, how charitable this guy was. And he bought all the instruments. And he bought all the kids. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
At the orchestra. He bought all
the
kids.
Well, it's true because the kid, or he says, like, someone asked for one playground for $1,000. And he goes, no, I won't do one playground for $1,000. I'll do 10 playgrounds for $10,000. And it's like, well, why didn't you just do that already? Like,
yeah,
if it's so easy to get 10 grand for 10 playgounds, like, what were you doing?
Yeah, what was he doing before?
You're
then?
Just waiting for someone to ask for stuff. You can't proactively give people stuff. Anyway,
my thought was, well, what is $1,000 going to get you in a playground?
Yeah,
that's going to get
it's
you
like sand.
That's going to get like one guy with a tractor will back over at one time to like clear like.
Have you purchased sand lately? It's a grand for a half yard.
Yeah. God, I mean, this again, it would have been, he was telling the story, so it would have been sometime in the 90s or something.
Yeah.
But
sand
still
was cheap then.
Those were the times of great economic sand boom.
If we could all go back and just buy sand, I mean.
You would go to the sand station, right? And you would see a gallon of sand, fractions of the cost it is.
Oh, I used to bathe in that stuff.
Back when sand was
pockets full of sand.
Yeah, your mom and dad would just give you pockets full of sand. Okay, so then we cut over. And now, again, same day, apparently, like the same 10 minutes. Now Samuel L. Jackson is in an AA meeting, and he's apparently an alcoholic, and he's doing a little meeting. Lots of people at the meeting. I mean, I guess we are in New York, but that was a huge-ass meeting, like a giant crowd of alcoholics. They were all, I don't know, I just thought it was odd. Like, they're all on the same page.
Most
all,
of New York alcoholics is what I thought.
And they were such a coordinated bunch, you know, like their interactions and stuff, like their applause and everything. It was all just very, seemed a little too tight knit. But anyway, Affleck, and then, okay, we go back to the thing again, and they're walking out of the charity thing. And now apparently Ben Affleck is not friends with some girl anymore who was like a relative of Citizen Kane. Name is.
Her name is Mina. And this is a subplot that literally goes nowhere, right? Like it occupies the first 20 minutes of the movie. And you're like, he likes her and he's so distraught that she doesn't like him. And then like the movie just forgets she was in it. Like completely.
Yeah, it's supposed to build some sort of character with Ben Affleck that he cares about this younger, you know, girl that he wronged or whatever, but it doesn't really play into how he acts the rest of the film anyway.
It's almost like it's not a well-written film. It's weird. It's almost like that.
Did the things you watched have like 5.5 stars out of 5 for this film?
Yeah.
Everything I saw was like the greatest movie of all time.
Yeah, the Rotten Tomatoes is in, I think it's in the 70s at least. Maybe 80s. Go ahead.
No, that I was just had a stunned noise in the back of my throat. I was trying to figure out if this movie was better or worse than The Firm, and I realized it was both. Right? Like,
it's better.
Yeah, exactly. Then The Firm.
And worse.
Is The Firm the one you were here? I mean, all of them were the one you were here.
Oh, I thought you meant for making fun of. It's way worse than The Firm.
Yeah. The Firm's a better movie.
As like if you just sat down with a family or whatever and watched it, like seriously.
Yes.
It's worse.
Well, I would vote that if you were, if you knew nothing about opening arguments or legal anything and you're just watching it as a film, The Firm is better, I think.
The Firm had like one thing that was dumb and that kind of ruined the whole movie, like the first main legal point. That one part called the plot.
But think of all the flipping that made up for it. Like the flipping you
the
get.
The gut punching, it brought it back. And the
and Wilford
the
Brimley.
Albino oh chasing.
Let's just do The Firm. Yeah. Let's do The Firm.
Start with the top. We're doing The Firm.
But no, I think
this so one, John Deere. No,
not knowing anything about law, I felt like this one had just a million more legal.
And just stupid stuff that wasn't law, like more and dumb things that weren't law related
and character inconsistencies.
Yes.
And for me, like Ben Affleck is the lawyer, and we're going to talk about like how preposterous that is. But like at least in The Firm, right? Like we have Tom Cruise as Mitch McDeer doing like they're stupid, right? But he's doing lawyery things, right? Like not just the backflips, but like you know he does that little cross examination thing, and he's like does his little analysis of offshore. Or how to hide their holdings where he's like, impresses Fat Tony on the beach or whatever. Like Ben Affleck never even pretends to do a lawyer thing in this movie.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like,
this is one thing I have always thought about Ben Affleck, and I don't know if it's just me. He is the least competent looking person at anything. Like any role, I don't believe him because I'm like, he looks so incompetent. Like he just, there's no way he's a lawyer.
He's also huge. Yeah. He's huge.
He's got a weird box head.
Face-wise, a lot of space.
Lot of head. Yeah. Tons of head. Maybe that's where he keeps all the lawyer knowledge. But
I think one of my notes was that it's contrary to what you guys are saying is that Ben Affleck is a little too good at being a dickhole lawyer. That was one of my notes.
Yeah, he's got that part down.
But you're right that it doesn't involve actual law type things that make you believe
even,
he's a lawyer.
Yeah, he doesn't even like say random Latin words for no good reason.
That's the minimum.
Well, we'll get to our first little courtroom scene soon. But anyway.
Plurbius.
I am going to use Plurbius the next time I'm in court.
Oh, God. We're all out of Plurbius. So stupid. Every lawyer says E Plurbius all the time.
They do. That's you laugh, one. But they do.
That's step one of every court proceeding. It's like we all agree, E Plurbius Unum, or whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, so he's not friends with that girl, and he's like, doesn't have anything to do with anything. And then I think Gene Hackman's setting up some video equipment at this point, right? Is that? Oh no, sorry.
Yeah.
So maybe let's see. We don't know what's going on, but it sounds like Ben Affleck works for a law firm that's screwing over that girl's grandfather's estate, I guess. Then we get over to Sam Jackson, and he sells insurance, and we find out like he's also prepping to represent himself in court, apparently, and it sounds like to get custody of his son or his kids or whatever. So that's what he's doing. Again, these cutaways, like this back and forth, is just frustrating.
Yeah.
So, but then this is great. He and Ben Affleck, they're both driving down the road. They're trying to get to their various and sundry court appearances that they're doing. And they get in an accident while changing lanes. So that's the first part of our title. Yeah.
All right.
Did you catch that?
No.
That must be the literal meaning of the movie.
So that's the literal meaning. And then there'll be some sort of metaphorical meaning, maybe. And Ben Affleck, he's in a terrible hurry because he's got to get over there, you know. To do whatever in his fucking courtroom. Ben Affleck doesn't want to do the bullshit of exchanging insurance and all that. But he like ruined Sam Jackson's car. you know, his car isn't driving anymore. But Ben Affleck's is. He's like, oh, I got to get out of here. He's like, I'll just give you a blank check and you do whatever. But Samuel L. Jackson, his character is so stupid. It's the weirdest, inconsistent character. But he's like, I need to do the right thing. I got to do the right thing. Let's do the insurance, whatever. And but Affleck won't do it. But here's the key. He leaves a file. He accidentally left like a little folder.
He drops a bunch of shit on the freeway. Yeah. Middle of the freeway.
So two things here, right? The first is I really, really appreciated that this movie, that like, right, the accident, that's what makes the whole movie happen. At least in this movie, that happened like 10 minutes in, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The Good firm, point. We're like 97 minutes in before anything happens. Yeah. And here it's like, nope, it's all about this accident. Bam, here you go, 9 minutes in.
Did you guys notice that? The universal sign in movies for when you get in an accident is to like raise your hands. They both do this my hands and then put them back down. That if I got in an accident, I wouldn't be doing that.
No.
I've seen that in commercials. Somebody in Hollywood or whatever decided if you get in an accident, you raise each hand up and then put them down. And that's like you got in an accident, basically. I don't know why that is.
Especially if you were Sam Jackson, who, by the way, so like the way the accident works is like I think Affleck tries to change lanes into him, but I'm getting my metaphor and my literal. Yeah. He changes lanes into his racial inequality. I think he changes lanes into his
socioeconomic.
Car. His ethically changes lanes, and then Samuel L. Jackson runs into those like water sand things, right? Like he runs into the barrier thing.
Well, of course, also Ben Affleck's driving a Mercedes and Samuel Jackson is driving like a Pinto.
Yeah. And
in case you didn't realize that they're from different socioeconomic classes.
If you get rear-ended or the tiny fender bender, I could see the two-hand raise thing. But I'm trying to go with your point that if you run head first into a fucking barrier, you're not going to do the, two-hand up like accent thing. That makes no sense.
The two hands up is like, well, it's kind of a nuisance. This is like your whole car's ruined.
I've only been in one accident and someone rear-ended the fuck out of me, like really hard. And my reaction was like, like I saw in the mirror that the guy was coming way too fast. I saw in the rear view and it was, and I don't even know if I actually made a sound, but it was my brain just going like, and then you get run into and you're like, I just was in an accident. That's what your reaction is. It's, I think I was just in a car accident.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's not oh, the two-hand thing. Yeah,
but I guess the other point to be made is that they're both going for similarly important things in their lives, I guess. And the way that they each handle it is completely different. But anyway. Yeah.
So anyway, then Affleck, he just leaves. He kind of leaves Samuel L. Jackson's desk. He's like, oh, better luck next time is what he says. And he's not going to stay. He just leaves him the check never comes into.
He doesn't even leave anything for him.
Well, he I think he tried to leave him a blank check.
He gives him,
he's holding the blank check at the end there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he left a file. He dropped his file. And now, all of a sudden, mysterious downpour of rain. I always love it. It turns into rain all of a sudden.
Because it wouldn't be strong enough. It wouldn't be bad enough that his car doesn't drive anymore. Exactly. Has to have rain.
It wouldn't be bad enough that poor, down on his luck Sam Jackson trying
turning
to get
his life
custody
around Samuel
hearing.
Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just hot off a successful AA meeting where he's been sober for a while. It wouldn't be bad enough that his car is disabled and he can't make it to court. It also has to start raining because that's this movie.
Loan approved, not drinking. Samuel Jackson.
Well,
anyway.
Two-thirds of this movie is shot through water. Right, like I don't know who had the contract to like spray water all over the set.
Oh
for this
yeah,
because
there's that other scene.
It's all supposed to be in one day. Like I mean, which is implausible. Like 30 hours worth of stuff happens, but there's like 8 emergency showers that happen throughout this movie.
So now we're in the courtroom, and we're in. This is where I think Andrew is definitely going to shine here. So it's the Simon Dunn Foundation, and it's the person who's Mina or something.
Yeah, Mina. Yeah,
whatever. It's her versus Ben Affleck, who's just by himself, and the issue is this Citizen Kane type donor guy. Not really the same thing, but it's just the way they were talking about it in the beginning. It just made me think of it. But anyway, Simon Dunn, charity guy, whatever you would call him, benefactor. He had a foundation, and when he died, apparently he signed over like to dissolve the board and kind of give control over to this law firm. And the granddaughter is the point of the hearing, which you can tell me, Andrew, if this is how this works. The point of the hearing is she's asking, wait, why did this happen? Yeah. Like is that accurate?
You have accurately described the movie.
Is that how that would work?
Why did this movie happen?
My brain tried to throttle my spine in this scene. Like, so, okay, here's what's going on. They're supposed to be in probate court, which, by the way, in New York is called surrogate court. So that's a tiny error, but whatever. You know, and the judges are called surrogates. It's like a weird thing if you've ever been to New York, but anyway, you would not probate court, right? That's where you hand out, the court disposes of what happens, to an estate. Right. And so, you might think that, but like if you had this sort of massive dispute over, it's like $170 million in a trust, right? Like what would happen? Because probate court is essentially, right? Like there's a reason why the judges aren't even called judges in New York, right? Like it's one of the lowest possible courts, right? It's a totally informal, because usually these things are like, well, Aunt Sally failed to decide who was going to get her, you know, porcelain cats or whatever. And they like, if you had $170 million, like what you would do is go in, you would make a motion, and those proceedings would be stayed, and you would go to a real court and fight over what's happening.
Your Honor, you're pathetic and your court is pathetic. Can we move
this? It's true. And like you see the judge, it's one of the only realistic things in this is that like you see the judge kind of look forward and laugh and be like, yeah, well, you know, this is probate court. Like, what the hell do you want from me? Right?
Like,
she's like, I'm on my lunch break. I don't even care about
So this stuff wouldn't be handled there anyway. But then, like, I mean, let's just get to the plot.
This is great.
So, it's just like the firm. Go ahead.
I think what you're talking about is the files, mm-hmm. right? Because this is what everything hinges upon. So she says, oh, why did this happen? Like, what? Why? You know, how come?
Yeah, that's not a thing you ask for in court. Like, what you ask for in court is, give me my fucking money. You don't say, why did this happen? Right? Yeah. You either say, I get the money.
We all gather here in court so I can ask, hey, why did you do this?
No, that's what our show is for. That's not what court is for.
That's what email and phone is for. So. But then he's like, well, it's in accordance with his wishes. He signed this over because, you know, the board wasn't very good at running a foundation. They were his friends. And he goes, oh, here, we have all the documents to back it up. And he pulls, it's great, pulls them out one at a time, these folders. And he's like, oh, this is the first one. I can't remember what they're called.
So the first one is the trust document, which you would have.
Trust document. And then the second one is
the second one he says
is completed together.
He says it's the tax exemption,
tax exemption
wouldn't have anything to do with this, and no one would
I thought that too. I was like, what does that have to do?
Nothing at all.
It's just bolstering.
You just have to have you couldn't.
Then he pulls like, here's my personal tax return. I'm still working on for April.
You couldn't have two. You know, you couldn't be like, well, here's document number one, and oh, look, you got to have three in a sequence.
Yeah, you got to have three. Because the power of three. Because the third document, which all of this hinges on. Like the first two seem don't even nothing matters.
Yeah, the judge rolled her eyes like at the first two, and she was like, "Give me the third one."
The third one, he's like, "And the
it's like a it's short story. Attorney, you have to have like three paragraphs or something."
Is it power of attorney or is it?
Yeah, it's
like
the power
that.
Of appointment. Actually,
power of appointment. And he's like, and he reaches in. It's not there. The document is not there.
Andrew, I wrote down in my notes, forgetting shit in court, ultimate nightmare. Is that true? Is that like your ultimate nightmare? And then I wrote, wouldn't you just file this stuff like ahead of time with the court?
So, like all of it is just insane, right? Like, so, first, right, the, yes, you, all
oh,
of this.
Oh, hold on, go ahead. Hold on. Right, let's start with the first thing we might have missed.
Okay.
He's 20 something minutes late. And just waiting for him. Like, would that, because you've told me about courtrooms where they're so crowded, would that even happen? They're not going to wait for you, are they? Like 30 minutes, 20 minutes?
Yeah, they would wait. I mean, like, What would
they just sit there?
What would happen?
I screwed half my notes with that. I was scared. No, the whole movie is about waiting for people in court.
It's actually like because they're we're going to talk about it in contrast to Samuel Jackson's hearing. But basically, like, if you're on the docket and all the parties aren't there, then what they would do in a situation like this is they would call. You know, your particular case number, the judge would say, the bailiff would say, okay, is counsel for plaintiff here? Counsel for defendant here? No. All right. Well, you guys sit down and we're going to go to the next case on the docket. And you just move down to the docket.
That's what I'm saying. They wouldn't literally be standing in court. Like, Yeah, they're not.
They just
all,
shuffle it.
Yeah, they're all set up and courting. They're ready to do some courting. Right. Like they're all, the plaintiff is on one side and whatever. Like they're all ready to go, and then he barges in. Like I don't. Okay, that's okay. What I was getting at. But
court marches on.
Yeah. That's the first thing that I thought was didn't make any sense. They act as though there are no other cases happening in this court.
Like, yeah, well, they're trying to do two things, right? Like they're doing the contrast between, you know, rich guy in court and poor guy in court, and like that's a fine thing to do, except that they have rich guy in sort of low end poor guy court, right? You know what I mean? Like it just didn't. None of this movie.
But anyway,
makes any sense.
To the documents, if you forget the documents.
I was just thinking of Andrew being in court and forgetting a document. It's just the worst day of his life.
And then the camera pans down, he's in his underwear. Yeah, right, it's, like, it's Andrew's nightmare. All
yeah, his urine. Like yeah. He's actually,
I haven't
he's
studied been, for this exam at all.
Yeah. What are the common lawyer nightmares? That's what I want to know. I got to think top five is forgetting the crucial document that not only will ruin your case, but you might go to jail if you don't
have
the
whole
document.
World turns on this document. We'll find out.
Most important document of all in legal history.
And the judge even says, okay, I'll let you talk about it first, Andrew.
Go ahead.
What would normally happen?
Right. So what they have to do is that the movie wants to make this file that has now been transferred to Samuel L. Jackson, like the critical MacGuffin. It's so important to Ben Affleck, but it's worthless to Samuel L. Jackson. Right. Like that's the whole point of all of this. So they're like, well, why don't we make a law thing? And so what they have to do is they have to have the judge. And the judge says, I took notes. The judge says.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
An original document with a signature has magical powers. That's the argument the movie wants you to give to not
typical
think about.
Judge speak.
Yeah. To not think about the fact that like what's happened is he's lost a document because you know what happens is people lose documents, right? And so it like the entire thing is basically like, well, if you don't get the original with his signature on it, then not only does it not go into effect, I don't know why that would be, I can talk about that in a minute, but it would retroactively turn everything into fraud and everyone will go to jail that you've ever cared about. And like, that's what she said. She's like, it will put you in jail and your firm in jail and
your
like your dog.
In jail. It's everybody, and
you're just watching and they have
the
to do.
The whole country would
no
be
one
in jail.
The
whole
will
damn
ever
system is
law
in jail.
But let's think of what the actual situation. So a guy dies.
Right.
He signs this bullshit.
Right.
Wouldn't that have been noted or filed or something?
Yeah.
At some point, like, wouldn't we already know about this?
Right.
Because
exactly.
Because under the premise of this movie, if she hadn't brought whatever motion she's bringing up right now, it's almost as though the document could have just not existed. Because like he's producing it for the first time. It's the big unveiling of this document.
Yeah.
It's just a claim versus claim. Well, I swear he said it's ours.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's like, no, I don't think he did.
Yeah, she's got that motion to explain what this is all about to me, which not what I've usually filed.
Motion to give me 5 minutes of your time.
Yeah.
Tell me what's up,
but
motion.
Yeah, like, so...
What gives?
Thomas actually did this on the last
motion of plurbius. What gives?
Motion of plurbius. Yeah. Thomas actually did this on the Thomas Takes the Bar exam, like the best evidence rule, right? And so what the best evidence rule says is if there is an original of a document, you have to produce it, right? But if there isn't an original of the document, it does not go on to say then everyone that was ever involved goes to jail. The end, right? Like that, like because what you're trying to do here is ascertain what. The dead guy wanted, right? So a document signed by him in his own hand with his handwriting, that's the best evidence of what he wanted.
Well, in blood would be number one.
Right, yeah. Right.
They had that.
Yeah.
So best evidence.
What's the hierarchy of bodily fluid for that? Andy? Is it blood, urine? Go on.
Bile, you'll get there. Black bile.
Thomas takes the bar five.
But the second best evidence of what this guy actually wanted would be a photocopy of that document, right? Like, it's not, I mean, I was sitting there thinking, like, maybe this is meant to be set in, like, 1805, right? Like, lanes, right? Like,
correct me if I'm wrong, too, but it was notarized. So you'd also have proof
doesn't, wouldn't he have a copy or he or she? Or
no, like, hang on to a copy of your document.
Oh, okay. Actually.
Well, no, but they would say, here's the copy, and here's also the notary stamp, or what, the notary stamped in their book that we got it notarized. So it's right. all...
Yeah, yes. Like, what if... Okay, let's say there were no copies for some reason. Couldn't you have the notary testify? Like, yeah, I did this at this appointment. And
you're exactly right. That what you would do is... Right,
if you were fighting a charge of fraud. But I guess he wouldn't be able to testify, like, what all the documents said and everything. There's no way he would know all that.
But it would be... You're overthinking it, right? Like, all you would do is, Ben Affleck would stand up in court and say, Your Honor, I know this is highly irregular. I was involved in a car accident today. And for some reason, this crucial document got lost. I don't know if it fell under my seat. I don't know what happened to it. I'm going to have my office courier over here immediately a copy of the document. And we're going to introduce that into evidence. And then if the other side says, well, how do we know that they didn't alter it? We'll be like, okay, look, there's a notary stamp on it. We can bring in the notary and say, is this your stamp? And she can testify. I'm going with she because my old secretary used to be a notary. So, you know, we used to do this all the time, right? Like, and then she can testify, yes, that's my stamp. Yes, I recall that, you know, Ben Affleck and some 107-year-old guy like came in and signed documents.
Like, yes, I recall that there's no way was a lawyer asked me to.
Which, of course, is the entire point of a notary. Yeah. Right. That's the reason you have a notary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, in this world, what function does the notary serve? Like, it doesn't matter. If you don't have the document there, and it's worthless, so, like, there's nobody serves any function.
And yet, not just worthless. Remember, the judge looks at him and says, you'll go to jail if you can't find this document. Signature. I'm like, could you imagine? I'm like, so, again, it's one of these, like, you have to suspend disbelief because, like, I have had this in my family. Maybe you've had it in your, like... There are stories about how, like, you know, Aunt Kate died and, like, nobody could find her original will. And, you know, people sort of argued back
to jail. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the whole family's in jail. Kids immediately being born in jail.
Right.
Yeah.
Chauffeured to jail at
birth. So it's totally absurd. Everything about this stupid premise is horrible.
Right.
And what I love, too, is let me ask you this. She's like, okay, by the end of the day, just find this document or I'm throwing your ass in jail. Like, what if you're like, well, I got in an accident, you see, and it was with a random guy. Like, what if I can't get it today? You know, like, there's just no option in this judge's mind. Is that accurate?
Yeah. All of this, like, continues to sort of reinforce the idea that, like, the law is just sort of arbitrary, right? I mean, like, that's why we continue to have to do what we do on the show. But
I mean, if you go to, okay, let's get to the real world. If you go to the real world and it's not a fake everything and you're like, hey, got in a car accident, this document, I don't know what happened, it's in the car accident, it's missing somehow, we need to delay. Would the judge just be like, okay, reschedule?
The judge would say, why don't we I'll enter into continuance for 7 days. How long do you need?
Yeah.
How long do you think it's going to take you to come up with it? And if the other side says something, right? Like, you know, they'll say, well, you know, can we expedite this? And you know, and I would say, I'll do my very best, Your Honor. But, like, there's this idea. We're about to get to the next scene.
They're actually, like, in the courtroom in this movie, that she gets out, they start wheeling out a guillotine. Right. And they're like, this is, by the end of the day, like, this is what's happening.
And there's a backup firing squad, and they're all loading their guns. There's a blood-stained wall of the last case where the guy got
the
shot.
They've cleaned
up the blood.
I kind of think that what they meant to do with this movie was that, like, that the document, what it should have been was like the combination to like a safe that only Ben Affleck knew, you know what I mean? Or like if this were like a
something that mattered is what you're trying to say.
Well, what they wanted was something that was immensely valuable to him, but not at all valuable to Samuel L. Jackson. And like, you know, key to a safety deposit box or something. Like, I don't know.
Like in the firm, it was he was going to get disbarred if he didn't go along with this whole,
which was also stupid.
Slightly bad decisions that equal a terrible, you know, ultimate decisions or whatever.
So anyway, we spent a lot of time on this, but that is the ridiculous.
I got to say, did you guys notice that Bob Costas played the lawyer of the girl? It was Bob Costas. Oh, like, his voice was Bob Costas. Anyway,
I love that little I don't know if anyone noticed that. I did notice because he does this thing where he, like, pretends to be concerned about the car accident. Right. He's like, what did you say? Car accident?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, well, I hope. What does he say? Like, I'm glad you're okay.
All right.
Yeah. He's like, oh, no problem. Don't mention it. Like, he's trying, doing this all like unctuous, lawyer routine where he's like trying to be all patronizing. Anyway,
nobody does. He has that good, like, well, if you can get back the document you said you had from the guy whose name you don't know, whose phone number you're not sure where it is, like, then we'd all like to see that.
And he ends it with that signs the $100 million foundation over to your law firm.
Right.
And then, like he totally nails it. You're right.
That was good.
It was a really good line.
I wanted to ask a question just for those who might be wondering. In the court scene, I noticed how the granddaughter was just, you know, yelling at Ben Affleck. Is that something
yelling
like, would the
out?
Judge tolerate that?
No.
Well, this is the lowest form of court, though.
But still, even in the lowest form, wouldn't the plaintiff or whatever she is, doesn't she have to not talk?
Yes.
She can't talk,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. You're right.
All right. Yeah. Yes. Samus takes the bar.
So far, you're one for one.
Yeah, what? You're one for, Yeah, right. You're not one for one. I'm not letting anyone near me.
I haven't been paying attention.
I'm 7 for 13.
That's
currently.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
for not entering law school.
It's our test. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the 7 I've got have been easy as fuck. Anyway, the 6 I didn't get were impossible. No. So how the law works is he has to find Samuel L. Jackson by the end of the day, or he's dead and his whole genocide, his whole family, or whatever. And so Sam Jackson now, he's in court. So if you recall, he also had to go to court to...
Same courthouse, right?
But yeah, same courthouse, different courts. same shit, different day.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
So
Samuel Jackson, different day.
So he shows up. He's only 20 minutes late. So then, how does that work?
Well, the rain, obviously.
Well, yeah, but he has no car. It pours down rain. He was already in a hurry, and he's only 20 minutes late. Like, I could miss a stoplight, and I'm 20 minutes late.
I think what you're getting at is that we learn later in the movie that Samuel Jackson has intricate relationships with all cab drivers in the city. How was he that late?
So anyway, when he shows up in court, again, they were just waiting there, ready. And this one's even worse, right, Andrew? Because he shows up, and they're like, sorry, we already did all the courting. Like, we did everything. Does that happen?
You would never... They say it's a custody hearing. And so, it's like, sorry, I just awarded full custody of the kids to your ex-wife.
Yeah.
Too bad. Be here on time next time. Like that. No, of course not. And family court decisions are immediately appealable. So, you would just be like, I was late by 20 minutes. And the judge would be like, really? Is that the case? And the other side's lawyer would be like, well, yeah. And then the judge would be like, well, why didn't you just wait to go to the end? And then... Right.
File a motion to plurry this wait to go to the end.
I wrote in my notes that, like, based on this movie, like people have been getting given the death sentence because the lawyer was 20 minutes late.
Right.
Like,
right.
Hey, no one's here. Death penalty. Yep. We got it. You're dead.
I want his car. I want just anything. Yeah. Like, can I get custody of his house? Can I get custody of all the stuff?
It wasn't like he was in a fender bender. His car is like immobile. Like it's not even operational. And there's no consideration for that. It's like,
they're mad at him.
The old dog ate my car wreck excuse for court.
Yeah, well, the judge actually says, well, I think if this were my kids, I'd be here on time in response to I was in a car accident, right? Like, who would look at somebody and be like, well, you know, if this were me, I wouldn't have been in a car accident.
So
like, are you kidding me? Also, the judge here is the asshole photographer from Brewster's Millions. But anyway.
I haven't seen it. But
it's
cool.
A good movie. There's a court scene. We could do it.
Okay. We'll do that next.
Coming up next. I may or may not be involved in that one.
Except that one's actually funny.
So. Okay. Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's hard to make fun of an actually funny movie. But although this one's pretty fucking hilarious. Yeah. He's just screwed. Sam Jackson, he was 20 minutes late, so he's dead. He's lost his kids.
Yeah, wife got the kids.
And he leaves and he throws the paperwork away, just throws the folder that has the, as the magic document. So Ben Affleck comes across him on the street. He's like driving by in his BMW. He tries to talk to him, but actually this scene wasn't terrible in that I like that Ben Affleck was trying to come up with all these shitty ways of apologizing. Like, clearly all he wants is the stupid fucking folder. Yeah. He's like, sorry, man, it wasn't me. I can't believe I left you. I know better than that. Anyway, do you have my folder that I need? Like that actually, it's kind of realistic. I don't mind that at all.
Oh, whoops, a $100 bill fell out of my car.
Yeah.
You could pick it up if you have the file, or I'll just pick it up.
He's like, I'll buy you a car. But he needs the file. He's trying any tactic to get the file. But Samuel L. Jackson is so mad that Ben Affleck made him late, which then, of course, when you're late, as we've learned, the judge rules death for you.
Yeah.
So he's really mad. He doesn't give a shit. He's not going to do it. And so he just, unless anyone has anything else on that scene.
Well, I had written down that that scene went on for seemed like a long time of him following Samuel Jackson on the sidewalk in the car. And I was thinking, like, could you make an entire movie of a guy in a car following a guy on the sidewalk? How long could you stretch that out? Because I think they hit beyond the maximum.
Yeah.
I was like, how long are we going to watch Ben Affleck drive 2 miles an hour anyway.
So now Ben Affleck gets back to the law firm and he talks to the partners. So there's two partners, it seems as though, or he's the third, it seems like, in this law firm.
Yes.
And one partner is his father-in-law. And the other guy we know nothing about because he's never talked about or anything. But I do like that other guy. He's like actually one of my favorite actors in the thing. But anyway, he gets in there.
And his father-in-law is Sidney Pollack, who directed the firm.
Wow.
He was the director of the firm.
What a tie-in.
So, there you go.
Yeah. Huh. So he really doesn't know shit about the law.
So he's made two terrible movies at least. Or involved in two terrible movies.
He's not a bad actor though. He's good. And so he comes in and there's this again over the top scene of Ben Affleck comes in. He's like, Andrew, talk about the lawyer locker room talk that happened. Yeah. See, fucking stupid.
Go ahead. Squeak like a mouse.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Not only that, which is that is stupid too. But the way he describes it, they're like, oh, how did it go? And he's like, well, it was hard at first, but then I just produced this document, and then what could they do? So, like, lawyer to lawyer, would you be like, oh, how did it go when you had the document that just says what the case is and you win? Like
that we already knew.
Yeah, knew everything. Like,
that they should have also already known that we had. And this hearing didn't even need to take place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Does that happen, Andrew?
I made him squeak like a mouse.
And like the other lawyer wouldn't know that this document exists.
Right. Yeah,
like,
well, you'd have to have produced it. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. So the other lawyer would, if there was going to be any sort of argument, it would be some other thing. He'd be like, oh, you duped him or he would have some other argument, not like, oh, darn it, there's a document. Oh, man. Oh,
I didn't know you had him sign something. Shit.
It's now a good time to tell a real story that I actually had opposing counsel forge a document in one of my cases.
Oh,
well, I shouldn't say opposing counsel. I don't know who did the forgery.
He's not a counsel anymore. Right.
But it was a TRO hearing, right? And they showed up with this document that purported to show that my client had given up all of his interest in this company. And,
highly relevant.
And because it's a TRO, right? Like, temporary restraining order, right?
Cable.
So you get it.
Temporary restraining order.
Right. So I had applied like the day before. You get a hearing the next day, right? It takes place really, really quickly.
Did you get that joke? Temporary restraining order.
Yeah. Sorry. It's a Ghostbusters 2 joke. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, man.
That folder thingy she gave me. Anyway, go on.
I haven't seen Ghostbusters 2 in a long time. That's a good one.
So good. You need to.
We've seen it daily. Anyway, go ahead.
So all of a sudden they dumped this document on me that, purported to show my client didn't have any interest in the company anymore. And I just sort of looked over at my client who was like shaking his head vigorously. But I mean, what could I do at that point? And then my TRO was denied.
Did you squeak like a mouse?
I met with my client and he looked at me and he said, I never signed that. And I was like, well, come on. I mean, I've heard a lot of excuses before, but I've never signed that not one of them. And what we did was we went back and looked through his file and found the document that they had taken a razor to and lifted his signature and put it on this one, right? So, and then I went back in, reapplied, like I had to produce a handwriting expert, and I applied for sanctions, and I got $1,000 in debt. I spent like $5,000 proving this up, but like I got $1,000 in damages. And that was, right, lifting a signature, I mean, forging a document, right? And nobody went to jail. They had to pay me $1,000.
They didn't go to jail for forging a document.
I might just forge a document just for fun. I can afford it. I could probably get to
it.
Do not take legal advice from Lawed Awful Movies. Okay. This is not one of those.
I just said what I might do. I didn't say, can I do that? No, I guess that's a crime. No, I'm not doing that. Jokes.
Yeah. He didn't even get like a ceremonial slap on the wrist like in court. Yeah. They still do that, right?
Yeah, they sometimes have you stand around in a circle and, it's weird.
Yeah.
They do it in Latin. It's bizarre.
I was going to say, that's one of from the old country that we still
give them
honor.
A good firm pluribus, right? So But it's so funny because he goes in and then it's such an over the top scene of his father-in-law so proud of him. Right. He's like, I'm so proud of you. And you know, you're married to my daughter. I love you like a son. And I'm giving you my boat.
We get
just all this bullshit.
We get
like,
two crucial pieces of information here that make this movie even more unwatchable than the plot. Right. And that is number one, Ben Affleck is 29. Okay. That's fine. And number two, he's a partner in this law firm. Okay.
Yeah.
If he's 29 and it's established he clerked for a year, right? So like he's been practicing law for 2 years at this point, right? There's no way on earth.
Well, what if your father literally practiced?
It doesn't matter. Like the shortest partnership track at a major firm like the one that this is playing is going to be 8 years, right? Probably 10 in on Wall Street, right? You cannot be 29, 2 years out, have no appreciable legal skills, and be a $1 million partner in a big Wall Street law firm.
But what if you look like Ben Affleck? That's got to fast track you like 3-4
What's
years.
The nepotism track? Is that like a
there's a shitload of nepotism in these. Like it that was all totally believable to me, right? The but
that's probably true.
But it can't you can't nepotism any faster.
There's no like these things are tracked. Like you would never ever get somebody that age be a
partner. I think my biggest question for Andrew from this entire movie is that is it true or not true that getting a boat as a lawyer is the ultimate reward? Like better than winning any case.
And just, the highest partner has the longest boat.
Yeah. It is.
Like the 51 is the boat. But like when your boss first tells you like, hey, I'm giving you my like leftover 30 whatever foot. Yeah. Is that like when you're like, holy shit, I've made I'm a lawyer.
You do one of the first things that happens upon becoming partner is everybody lines up and compares the size of their boats. So
Well, you start with like a rowboat, I think, on day one. Yeah.
Can you artificially like what if you put like a pole out on just to get the length of your boat a little higher? Do people do that? They're like, oh yeah, mine's like 70 feet.
Anyway. The way Ben Affleck reacts to getting a boat, you would think that like that's the thing as a lawyer you're trying to get.
Yeah.
That's why you went to law school. That's why you studied. That's why you passed the bar for the fucking boat.
But he's a little conflicted because he's getting this boat under false pretenses.
Yeah.
Because his father-in-law thinks he just did a great day of lawyering, but it turns out he didn't. So now he's
lied.
Like,
yeah, he lied to them and told them it was all good.
Yeah, told them it was fine. Now Ben Affleck's like, well, oh, I just got a couple interviews to finish up, which is God, this interview subplot is so stupid. He's like, I got a couple interviews to finish up. And so he goes and he's doing interviews. There's like a guy and a girl who are interviewing to be America's next top lawyer or something. And God, it's so stupid. So this girl is doing her little pitch of like, oh, I want to be and I know you guys do a lot of like municipal finance law and I just whatever. And in the middle of it, he just says, literally, he says, I should have given him my insurance card. She's like, what? Oh, it was my fault. Like he just starts talking like an insane person.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that in your life, Andrew? Any human? It's not. This is not a lawyer question. Any human? Have you ever been sitting there and thinking about something else, and someone's talking to you
in an interview?
Or anything.
Job interview.
And you just literally say, "I should have given my insurance card." Like whatever the thing is, you should have done. You don't just. No humans do that.
No, my note was. From the other perspective, right? Because I did like 50 different on-campus interviews. We talked about this in the firm, right? Like I was thinking of these as if they were summer associate interviews, although I know the movie doesn't play it that way. And they seemed exactly right to me, right? Like I would go in, I would give this little like pre-memorized spiel about how much I loved
her spiel
the
was
fact
great.
That the firm does municipal law and that sort of shit. And the person interviewing me would like say random unconnected shit and then I would not get the job. Like it was, that seemed totally realistic to me. So...
Okay, well, I'm correct.
Yeah, I got a podcast coming up, so fuck this.
Yeah. this is why I'm no longer employed at a firm.
I really think that no one would do that, though. I really don't think you'd just burst out with a sentence of what you're thinking about at someone.
Some of these people are total misanthropes. I've got to tell you.
Of course, the whole point of this of any interview scene was just like trying to establish that, like, here's a pure person.
Yeah, exactly.
Wants to establish that law is fair, and here's poor Ben Affleck, who
because he's been through the ringer, man. Yeah. He's 29.
He's 29. Yeah. He's made.
He's
partner,
been practicing law for a year,
doing it the right way from day one. God. And now he's to find out that things aren't on the up and up.
So he kind of just leaves or whatever. He's like, well, I can't do that. I forget how that scene ends, but it's just the interview ends or something. And Samuel L. Jackson now has faxed him a page from the file. And it says
a fax ransom note is what I wrote down.
Sort of, yeah.
I thought to me what it reminded me of was the scene from Die Hard when the elevator opens up and Bruce Willis has written "Ho ho ho, now I have a machine gun" on the guy's chest in blood. Yeah. Like that's exactly what it looks like to me. But
yeah,
motherfucking
sort of like that.
Die Hard. God, that's a movie anyway.
Yeah. And so his secretary actually brings him the fax. That's how it ends. And so it says. Better luck next time. And it's got a page from the document. So now he knows that Samuel L. Jackson has the document, has his number and all that. So we've determined at some point that Ben Affleck and the secretary are ex-lovers. Like they used to be together.
She's not the secretary. She's an of counsel. She's a lawyer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this movie is just so fucking misogynist that like.
Well, but she's really is. She's on the phone all the time.
Well, he interrupts her without even asking. Like when she's on the phone.
Oh, he treats her like a secretary.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Okay. Missed that.
And she's only. Yeah, she's only ever named Michelle. And then like, but she has the little thing about how like she says, I'm not a partner at this firm. I don't want to be.
I was confused by that. I was like, yeah, obviously you're not a fucking partner. I think you're a secretary.
The part where we learn that he cheated on his wife with her is like he's on the phone saying.
Yeah, he's on the phone.
My wife could have found out about our affair and it still wouldn't be worse.
I thought I had a note for that.
Yeah,
but I
can't remember where that happens.
Because I wouldn't have already written.
Probably because it doesn't matter at all.
But for his heart, I mean, it really did kind of stand out. Like as much as the movie tries to like go for the like racial and socioeconomic and you know we want you to empathize with the other side but not with women like fuck that like she doesn't even have a last name in this movie and she's the only lawyer at the front like they made a 29-year-old who
no
doesn't practice
either.
Any
she
law
just talks
a
on
partner.
The phone like to her friend like she's
we first meet her and she's going well and
she's got her
the
shoes off.
Party of the first
plurbius
part
something
she did plurbius.
That's how I knew she was a lawyer. I don't know about you guys.
So then he sort of opens up about the fact that, oh, he might have just totally screwed over this old dying man out of his $1 billion foundation like that. He sort of is like, oh, then he kind of mentions it a little bit. And we start to get to the feeling that, oh, maybe the old man who died didn't want this to happen. And so then when describing the situation, this is the weird thing, Andrew. I want to know how many guys like this, you know, she says, well, I know someone who can fix stuff. Like, how does she know this guy who can fix stuff? And he's like, what do you mean? Well, if you need someone to be, I don't know, like blackmailed or something, like convinced of something, he can do it. And I'm just thinking, why would she know this? Andrew, do you know like a guy who you know, does illegal stuff
like,
for you on the side?
Winston Wolfe, right? Like that. Isn't it from you got to call you,
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking,
you're sending the Wolf?
Yeah.
You gotta send in the wall.
That's all you had to say. And
and that's all the line of that the three of us white guys can do.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So we cut back to the bar now because Samuel Jackson, he goes to the bar. We've established memories.
I feel like we're not spending enough time on Samuel Jackson. Anyway, go.
Yeah. We've established he's an alcoholic, so he's in a bar because the hearing obviously didn't go well. He lost his kids. And he orders a drink, and he just kind of sits there. He's, like, debating whether to drink it. He's not drinking it, and he calls his sponsor. And his sponsor, I like this little detail, seems to be some sort of, like, editor or something at a broadcasting thing. Because it cuts over to the sponsor, and it's, like, a bunch of TV monitors and stuff.
Yeah, that was they never funny. Elaborate on that.
Yeah, but it is weird. But anyway, the drink's just there, and he's like, leave the bar,
I'm sorry. Yeah, you missed the biggest tragedy of the film. Andrew, did you pick it out? Did you notice it?
Yeah, the fact that he asked for a twist with the bourbon.
Yes. And he didn't give him a twist. He gave him just a piece
of
lemon.
Circle.
That's not
a
twist.
A wheel. That's exactly.
A wheel, exactly. I know. Exactly.
Oh, so
you're
what's a twist?
You're a man after my own heart.
Yes. I wrote down in my notes, the greatest tragedy of the film, that's not a twist. Anyway,
you think I'm so far above that. I don't need a twist. So when he said that and gave him that, I thought, oh, that's what a twist is.
No.
Because
I bartended before.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, yeah, that's not a twist. So he just gives him that thing. And I was wondering, did they mean to do that in
the
movie?
Well, the bartender turns out to be a bit of an asshole. So I thought it could be like the bartender is kind of like, whatever, here's your
fucking
thing.
Did you take it that way, Andrew? Because that's kind of what I was thinking. Maybe they did that on purpose, like, oh, a twist, whatever. Here's your shitty lemon. And Samuel Jackson was like, gee, and here goes another one. Just pile another one on the heap for today.
Yeah, I didn't take it that way, but I can see it now.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Sorry. That was one of my favorite moments of the whole movie.
Yeah. So so that happened.
The whole twist. A wheel. Thing Perfect.
Yeah. A wheel. The sponsor just tries to get him to leave the bar. He doesn't leave the bar, and then we cut over, and Ben Affleck is talking to this. Ben Affleck is talking to the wolf, this guy who's just in like an office, I guess, and he's got one shitty computer. And this got fucking movies. It's just so fucking lazy and stupid. So he's talking, he's like, oh, I need you to whatever. And the guy's like, oh, he works in insurance? Well, now that I know his name and that he works in insurance, I know everything about him. He looks at, he types a few things in his old fashioned typewriter looking computer. And he knows, he's like, oh, got his license. Oh, got his social. Oh, got his, he's everything.
Well, you don't understand the hacker world. I've dabbled in the hacker world. There's two separate databases. There's like people, and then there's insurance people. The insurance list is like 15 people. It's just.
Well, and it has everything.
If you're lucky enough to get a guy that works in insurance, your job, you made $5,000 without, basically for free. You feel guilty.
So stupid. And so the whole premise of this, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and the hacking that he does is, like, he pulls up a little blue screen that has a couple of words on it, and he types, is bankrupt on it. Right? Like, I mean,
before that, it says, whatever the character's name is not bankrupt. And then he just deletes not. Yeah. And then his whole life is ruined.
Oh, it's so stupid. But so he's got access to all this stuff. But even today, all this crap would not be on a system that you could get to, I bet. Like, there's no way. Like, it's all these files that banks and stuff were using in 2002. Like, there's no way you could just, I'll type in something and hack all those. It's fucking stupid.
So dumb.
The whole point of this guy is going to bankrupt him and like delete all his accounts at banks and stuff. And he's doing this for Ben Affleck for $5,000, as you mentioned. I'd argue if you have this ability, you don't need money. Like if you have the ability to go delete a guy's accounts in a bank, I bet you could just type in transfer $10,000 to me. Like you don't need to be doing this crime for $5,000 a pop. So it's fucking stupid. It is so stupid. I hate this about movies. The computer hacker who can do anything inexplicably is the most annoying thing in movies to me. But anyway.
Yeah, why not just have it go to a guy that's a hitman?
Yeah, might as well.
And then they say like, okay, I'll scare the shit out of him. Like something that could actually happen. Yeah. Like I've got to, like have him brandish a gun with like a silencer and go like, okay, just scare him or whatever.
Yeah.
That's at least believable.
I'm not a banking expert, but from this point on in the movie, they keep using the construction of, I have just turned off your credit. Can you turn it back on? And like the banker is like, well, doesn't look like your credit is turned back on yet.
Your credit seems to be off.
Look, sir, we have two settings here in the bank. You're either off or on, and you're off.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you want me to tell you.
What can I do in my life to get my credit more of to an on position? Like, you can open more accounts. You can, there's not a score.
The
it's
banker's
just
cruising
off.
The app off or on the credit. Oh, yeah. Okay, on. Okay, off. Well, approved.
Turned your credit off. Yeah. So he even does it like he's ready to push a button. He's like, should I push this button? He's like, oh, wait. Should I do this? What, is there any alternative? He's like, yeah, you can just call the guy and be nice. He's like, okay, push the button.
Yeah.
So I thought it was kind of funny. But it's a real asshole thing to do. So
he's
does
a
it.
Lawyer, by the way. He's a partner, by the way. He has no confidence in his skills to be able to call up
that's
Samuel
that's not
Jackson
at all part
and broker
of job.
A deal for the file he needs.
Some also, lawyer. The odds that he couldn't solve this legally. Like, he couldn't fucking solve this with some legal thing like, oh, I need time. Give me a delay. Like, it's so stupid. Anyway. So back to the bar again, there's this weird scene where there's these two guys talking about advertising.
That's a weird scene.
And Sam Jackson's like, you guys are in advertising here. I have the perfect ad for, there's such a ham-fisted racial message in this movie.
I think the audience is not clear that Samuel Jackson's African-American at this point. That's what it is. Yeah. There's been a lot of shadows.
Didn't notice either. Yeah.
Because of the
notice.
Rain and certain aspects of the weather. Make it so you're not able to tell his skin color.
So he's like, oh, I've got the perfect Tiger Woods commercial. And he tells this whole thing. He's like, and part of it, I'm not going to go through it. He's like, it makes no sense. But
so
during
convoluted.
It, He's like, oh, you're, it was like fat racist. Like, you know, your dads probably were, he says to these two guys. And then he goes through the whole commercial, which, by the way, great commercial. That would have been.
Did you catch one. Four grand slams for Tiger?
Four by grand the way? Slams. Yeah. No, he won a grand slam in not a calendar year. That was the only thing he ever did. Yeah. No one has ever won. I don't think any golfers ever won a calendar grand slam.
In tennis, there's grand slams. There's the U.S. Open, the Australian Open.
No, that is the grand slam, right? The grand slam is the four events combined.
Yeah.
They're majors.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Majors.
So yeah, he did.
Is there one in golf?
Yeah, I will tell you exactly.
U.S. Open, British
You're
Open.
You're totally right.
Yeah,
he said he won four Grand Slams. Now, to be fair, I guess the character could get that wrong. Like, it's
yes,
but yeah, he won four majors in a row.
The character getting that wrong say. after he's thought so much
about
how
important a commercial
about
Tiger Woods.
You're Tiger right. Woods is yeah.
The correct golf thing you would say is he won four majors in a row.
Yeah,
that's what you would say. And so four grand.
I like this commercial though. I thought it would. I just said that.
Yeah. I think it was a great commercial. They should make that commercial. Shit. This guy, whoever wrote this movie, should have just cut that part out. But like, here's a commercial that's actually good. Throw
would
away
have been
the rest.
Known
of the
for
entire.
The commercial that may have gotten picked up. Yeah.
So after he finishes his excellent pitch, the guys are like, "What did you say about our dads?" I kind of like that line because he goes through this whole pitch and then he's like, "What did you say about our dads?" And then the bartender, who this is the thing that makes me think maybe he's an asshole. He's like, "You need to leave." Like maybe they're painting him to be a racist too or whatever. And so he dumps out his drink and he's like, "Oh, you got to leave." And then back to the unrealistic hacking. And he wants $5,000 to do things that he could just get any money that he wants. It's so stupid. But he doesn't.
I wrote in my notes that it's pretty easy to track one guy.
Yeah.
Who deleted all these different accounts. Like, it's...
At least give me the hacker setup with multiple screens. He's doing all this on one screen. Like, come on. At least
show a couple firewalls or like a...
yeah.
There wasn't even
a process of hacking. It was just like, I have access to all of this. Let me type in his name.
And no one would ever trace it to me being the guy doing this. It's so dumb.
It's really stupid. So, but then it goes back to Samuel Jackson. Now, this is another confusing scene because he calls his wife and his wife is in the process of saying, like, I'm going to take you back. Everything's worked out. It's fine. And the two guys from the bar come to Samuel Jackson. And they start taunting him a little bit with like golf related taunts. And so he's like, oh, in the middle of like, it's more down on your luck, Samuel L. Jackson. Wouldn't you know it? He's just about to reconcile with his wife. And these people come over and pick a fight with him. And so he yanks the phone out of the thing, just beats the shit out of the guys.
I wrote down indefensible phone attack.
I wrote down the most likable character in this movie has just been portrayed as a psychopath.
Yeah. Oh, he's not likable at all. No.
But he's the most likable character in the movie, right? I mean, like, he's the only person you're supposed to sympathize with.
No, I think the secretary, secretary is supposed to be the most, but
Michelle,
but she beats the guy with background. A phone later. No, I'm just kidding.
That would be a good scene.
Yeah, good point. Is anybody likable?
I think that's what the movie's trying to say. During this whole movie, the whole point is like it's dog eat dog, everyone fucks everyone over. Yeah. Like that's the point of the whole movie. It's stupid. But,
and also that law can't help that.
Oh, yeah.
Like you can do shades of gray in characters, right? Like I keep trying to get Thomas to watch High Fidelity, like which is awesome. And like
High Fidelity?
Yeah. John Cusack is the lead character and like he's morally ambiguous and whatever and like but you still like him, right? Like part of the problem with this movie is that like you just don't give a shit about anybody because they're all terrible people.
And yet they keep trying. They do things to make you that think, you'll care about him now or
the stupid thing about Samuel Jackson's character is he oscillates. He goes one moment he's like, I'm the best person ever, I need to do this right thing. The next moment he's literally a violent criminal
beating somebody with a phone.
It's just like maybe that's a realistic thing, but if that's your character, that's still a psychopath. Like that's not like the likable, like you're saying, Andrew, that's not a likable character. That could be a possible person. Like maybe there's somebody who has such a rage problem that they're like trying to do the right thing, but then they just snap every time. But that's still not like a likable guy. No. He's beating the shit out of
people. Yeah, it's like the audience is supposed to relate like, oh yeah, I'm basically good, but if somebody fucks with me, I will beat them with a phone. But it's like, you don't really do that.
Socket.
Yeah, it's like if you're kind of edgy, you'll mostly actually do the right thing. You won't start beating someone with a phone.
But this begins this process of Samuel L. Jackson yelling at random people and beating the shit out of and throwing things and no repercussions.
No.
Like, that's what this begins. So now Ben Affleck leaves a threatening voicemail. He's like, look, I tried to be nice. Oh, what?
Yeah, I love this voice message because he says, hi, my name is Gavin Bannock, and I have committed the following felonies.
Yeah, exactly. I wrote that down, too.
Yeah.
You definitely want to leave a voicemail identifying yourself and the crimes you've committed.
It was exactly like, it was again another The Firm moment where you're like, he's going to be agonizing over whether to forge a document, spoilers, but like, you're just sitting there going like, well, you just committed like identity theft and, you know, extortion, but like, no.
And admitted to it. Like readily admitted with your voice, with your name.
Hi, criminal here. I just would like to update you on the series of crimes I've committed.
Hello, police officers and or FBI agents that will certainly be listening to this.
I was thinking of the Beavis and Butthead. Like,
hi, Samuel L. Jackson plus court goers that are listening to this in open court right now. He's like, I'll turn your life back on if you give me the file. Like, your life is off. I've turned your your credit is in the opposition.
I just turned off your credit. Yes.
I just turned
in this
off
dichotomy
your credit.
We all understand of credit off or on. You are an off, my friend.
Oh, man. You never thought it could happen to you, but now you're in the off position. So then he's talking to his secretary.
No, sorry. No, I just imagine going to the bank. How's my credit? Well, how is it? Pretty good? No, it's off.
It's off. Yeah.
So where am I on the score of like
that's
zero?
That's what I was saying earlier. What do I do to get to the on position? Well, you can make payments.
I'm sorry. I don't understand your question because you're off.
I know.
So
you can't get – what's the threshold between off and on?
Talk to me when you're on and then we'll talk.
The thing about being on is you don't know what makes you on credit-wise. Like, you can't – when you're on, you just know that you're on credit-wise. Yeah. So weird. So
just ignore the guy. Well, how's my credit score? You just look straight through him. Yeah, just straight. Act like he's not even there. Yeah.
Hey, I don't hear anything right now.
Do you have any clients waiting? I don't have a customer with you right now. There's nobody sitting at my desk right now.
Would someone with on credit like to be helped right now?
Yeah.
Oh, God. So anyway, he's talking to his secretary, and this is another part that blew my mind.
No, because she's not the secretary, remember?
Yeah, sorry.
God
it's in all
damn
my
it,
notes.
Thomas!
It's close enough.
That's got to be at least 7 future failures on the bar test.
Yeah. Well, I really didn't catch that. I totally missed it.
Well, the movie did its best to make sure you didn't.
She was on the fucking phone. She's handing him faxes. She's doing everything a secretary fucking does. I don't get what anyway, whatever. So she's a lawyer that's not a partner, basically, whatever that is. Is that what you're saying? So anyway.
All right, I'm cutting her off there. It's an awkward cut, but what can you do? Much more to come in next week's part 2 of this. Thanks for listening.
This has been a Comedy Shoeshine. Find us online at comedyshoeshine.com or like us on facebook.com/comedyshoeshine. Definitely follow us on Twitter @comedyshoeshine. And most importantly, help keep the podcast going at patreon.com/shoeshine.
Now enjoy the rest of this badass song.